Welcome into the Inside the NFL Prospects podcast presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jack Borowski, joined here alongside my co-host, Brian Sternberg. On today's show, we have an interview from before the season with top NFL draft prospect and former South Carolina cornerback, J.C. Horn. You can support our show by pressing subscribe and leaving us a five-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever podcasts can be found. When you subscribe, you will receive daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts from NFL Draft Bible. Starting things off, JC, we know reported back, starting workouts in the upcoming days, but what have you worked on in particular this offseason in order to get your game to where you want it to be for the upcoming 2020 season?
Mainly just transitioning and more so just off the field, running route combinations and watching a lot of film. So those have been the main things I really focus on during the quarantine, and just trying to get better overall, just everywhere, every aspect of the game.
And JC, coming straight out of high school, many players we interview decide to take a redshirt season. That wasn't the case for you. You jumped straight into action. You made 10 starts freshman season, was a freshman All-American, and was SEC All-Freshman selection. Did that give you any momentum going into your sophomore season?
That gave me a lot of momentum going into my sophomore season, just being able to come in and learn the ropes early from, you know, guys who are in the league now. It gave me a lot of confidence going into my sophomore season. I think that it played a big part in me being able to play good last year. So hopefully I'm just trying to follow it up with a good season this year.
Taking it back to your freshman season, we know it's a tall task for anyone, especially a cornerback in the SEC. JC, what do you think allowed you to transition so well from high school to then college?
I would say really just coming in and focusing from day one. I knew my T-Rob had communicated it with me in high school that I would have the opportunity just off the skills that I had. So I just knew I had to come in and lock in real early. And I was hoping I can get playing time, and it all worked out.
And JC, last year wasn't the season that this Gamecock football team was hoping for, finished 4-8, but you have next season to prepare for. What do you feel the South Carolina football team has to do next year to win the SEC?
Just finishing games. You know, the SEC is a tough league. And most of our games, we was like Georgia game, we came out with that game. And then the next week, we played another top 10 team in Florida. And we were winning that game up until the fourth quarter. So it was really just finishing games and staying locked in for the whole game. And I feel like we'll be good. We definitely have the talent to be as good as we want to be, though.
Talking specifically about that Georgia victory, JC, what do you think that showed about this South Carolina football team and what you guys are capable of?
It showed we had the talent and the players to do it. We just got to learn how to put it together every week and just establish a finishing mindset throughout the program. And I think that'll be the biggest thing in helping us change our program around and becoming a winning program.
And JC, after arriving freshman season, was there a moment, whether it was a practice or a game, that made you realize that, wow, these are legit D1 football players I'm going up against?
Yeah. What game was it? It was probably the Georgia game, because my freshman year, we had played, my first game, I think, was Coastal. So I was kind of thinking of it. I wasn't as nervous because I was just trying to kind of thinking of it as a warm-up game because I knew I had to play against Georgia the next week. So that was really my mindset. And when we played Georgia, I think it was the first play I got locked up in the backfield with Swift. And that's when I was really like, that was probably my welcome to the SEC moment, just being face-to-face with, you know, the great players they had.
Georgia, Florida, long list of talented teams that send guys to the first, second round year in and year out. How do you think, though, going up against these top-tier teams and specifically top-tier receivers has helped you develop on the football field?
It helped me develop tremendously. Not even going up against them. Before I seen those guys, I had to go up against Deebo Samuel, Bryan Edwards, who should have been a top two-round pick this year on the draft. But everybody seen how Debo and Bryan shake out. So just lining up with those guys and competing every day gave me the confidence to know that I won't go in and see a better receiver than those guys on Saturday. So when Saturday came, I just felt comfortable. But playing in the SEC also does play a big role just because we have the best league and it's the closest thing you're going to get to the National Football League. So all that gives me confidence. And going into my third year, I feel like there's nothing I haven't seen from any receiver. And I didn't play against the best of the best. So right now I'm just feeling as confident as ever.
And JC, you mentioned Bryan Edwards, players like him, Javon Kinlaw, Rashad Fenton, who just won the Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs, all came to the South Carolina football program. How has their success motivated you?
It motivated me tremendously, just seeing more so off the field. My freshman year, just seeing the way they worked, it motivated me to go harder. Rashad, Bryan, Kinlaw, Debo, all those guys. Just seeing them work made me go harder. And then coming into my sophomore year, I really started transitioning into how I'm going to take care of myself off the field and just seeing how they live their off the field life as far as their diet. They always in the training room, getting extra treatment, getting massages. That's just something that I wanted to focus on and implement more and more in my game because as you get older, that's what really matters. So those are probably the biggest takeaways I got from playing with those guys.
Now that they're in the NFL and you're becoming an upperclassman, how do you hope to take on a leadership role in addition to what you've done the past seasons to help out those kids who are coming in as freshmen and just the younger guys in general?
My main way by leading, I say it all the time, is just by leading by action. I never really been too much of a rah-rah guy. Pumping the team up when we go out, that's not really my forte, but just trying to lead by action and work hard, and hopefully the young guys can see that how me and Israel work just off the field, in the weight room, in practice, all that I think plays a big role in being a leader.
And JC, just like you're going to help out the underclassmen next year, when you first arrived, was there an upperclassman or a coach that kind of took you under their wings and helped you get adjusted to the speed of the game?
Yeah, it was a couple of people. Steven Montack, my freshman year, he was he played safety, and he was an upperclassman. He was a great mentor off the field, on the field. He was probably the smartest DB, and he just always stayed in my ear about everything. And as far as the coach, T-Rob, everybody knows he's one of the best in the nation at what he does, and he just developed me tremendously on the field and just helping my technique. So I feel like those are probably the two biggest factors in showing me the ropes when I came in.
JC, taking it back to high school, what was the recruiting process like for you, and what went into that decision to decide, I want to play my collegiate career at South Carolina?
As far as recruiting, it really came down to South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama. And what really separated was everybody likes to talk about DBU, and they bring up Florida. Florida is one of the main schools they bring up. And when you look at it, Coach Robinson, he really started DBU at Florida. Those are his guys that he had there. So I knew guys like Quincy Wilson and Jalen Tabor. Those are some of the guys I looked up to when I was in middle school, high school. And they're kind of like, we kind of had the same body type. And I knew T-Rod did a great job developing those guys. So my decision really came down to which coach was going to develop me the best on the field and get me ready for the next level. And I felt like nobody could do that better than T-Rod. So I figured he's a great coach. I'm going to be playing in the SEC. I'm still going to be on national television going against, like you guys mentioned earlier, the best receivers in the nation. So why not? And besides Gilmore, it hasn't really been too many DBs to come through this school and go first round and do all the things that high school DBs look forward to doing in college. So I just wanted to be one of those first guys to do that at South Carolina.
And JC, one of the best coaches in the country, in Will Muschamp. What is it like playing under him? And what do you think he brings to the South Carolina football team?
Well, Coach Muschamp is just, he's a fiery leader. Like, he's going to fire you up on the field. It's going to be hard. It's not easy to play for him because he don't care who you are, the best player on the team, the worst player on the team. He's going to coach everybody the same way, and he's going to call you out. So it's hard to play for him, but I'm definitely glad that I never feel too comfortable around him, and they always keeps me hungry and ready to work. So he and his guys, you know, we'll run through a brick wall for him just because of the type of coach he is.
Mentioned culture. How would you describe the culture that you guys have at South Carolina?
We like to pride ourselves on really just being a blue-collar organization. So every team we play, we want to lead a game knowing if we lose, we still want to lead a game knowing we dominated them physically. So that's the way we train. That's the way we practice. And, like, I think Kirby Smart said coming my freshman year, like, at the end of the season, that South Carolina was the most physical team he played. And they had played Alabama. They had played a lot of other great teams that year. So that really just put it into perspective of what type of organization we are, how we train and how we work. And if you look at our guys and they go to the combine, they always dominate every part of the combine. And that's just how we bred here at South Carolina.
And JC, going back to freshman season, like I said, started 10 games. You're able to make your first start as a freshman straight after high school. Going back to that first game, what was it like getting your first start?
It was exciting. Just waiting on I was in a nickel package, so I remember just waiting to hear if we was going regular nickel. And when they called nickel, it was really, really exciting. But when the ball snapped, everything really got back to normal, man. It felt like I was back in high school again. And like I said, we had Georgia the next week, and I was playing Coastal my first game. So I was really just trying to stay level-headed because I know the real test was going to come that next week.
Being in the SEC, JC, in addition to the top-tier talent, what separates you guys is the overall scene of a game day in playing for a team like South Carolina and just SEC as a whole. Sellout crowds, a lot of fans. What's a typical game day like playing for an SEC school? And in particular, what's it like playing at your home stadium?
The game day atmosphere, like in the SEC, is crazy no matter where you go. One of the most memorable ones to me was probably Florida. When I went to Florida my freshman year, I think that's when it really all hit me, like, that I was playing in the SEC. Just seeing guys like Vernon Hargreaves and a lot of great players I grew up watching on the walls at Florida, and they crowd was rocking. So that was a big time SEC game. And as far as the home atmosphere, I personally like the night games the best. It's nothing like Willie B and running out to 2001. So it's a great experience no matter where you go in the SEC. And it still hasn't gotten old, and I'm going into my junior year. I still can't wait for the first SEC game to get out there and just take in the crowd and the atmosphere and everything like that.
JC, going back to your freshman season, after your game against Missouri, you were awarded SEC Freshman of the Week. Did that game and did that award give you momentum for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, that game really slowed down everything for me and made me feel way more comfortable. So just going into the games after that particular game, it was moving real slow, and I could feel it and you could see it on film. So it definitely set the tone for the rest of the season for me.
When thinking of iron sharpens iron, you and Israel form probably the best cornerback duo in the country, one of the best we've seen in a really long time. How do you guys help each other succeed on the field and progress overall?
We help each other in a lot of different ways. Just off the field, we roommates, and we've been super close since I came in. So when we watch a film, he gives me some tips or what I need to work on. I do the same thing with him. And we work out, we go in editing, competing. But it's always friendly competition because we both want the best for each other. And it's just crazy to hear you guys bring up that we arguably the best duo in the country, because last year before he even started the game, we were saying that we the best duo, and it was kind of going unnoticed. But now that we're going into our junior year and he had a great season and I had a good season, more people are starting to take notice of what type of players we are. So we just don't keep pushing each other. Hopefully everything work out and we end up where we want to be.
JC, as you've seen yourself progress as a player since freshman season, in your opinion, what traits make for a great cornerback?
Well, number one is one thing you can't coach is just size. Being big, being physical, being long. Those are some of the tools I think are the first thing in making a great cornerback. Number two, I'd say, is your IQ and your eyes and discipline on the field. It don't matter how good you are. It don't matter how athletic you are, how fast you are. If you don't have a good IQ and can't lock in, play after play, and focus, then none of your athletic traits will matter. So those are really the two biggest things, I think, in making a great cornerback. Because you see a lot of cornerbacks who can't move, who make a lot of plays just off film. And no disrespect to Richard Sherman, but he's one of the first ones I think of. He's not the fastest, not the most athletic, but every year he in the back end of his career and we still see him make plays every year. So that just goes to show you IQ is probably one of the biggest things you got to have at playing cornerback.
JC, we know wide receivers didn't have a ton of success against this cornerback group last season, but did one stand out in your opinion as the toughest receiver you guys had to go up against?
Yeah, Alabama was probably the toughest receiving core we went against, because just all around they had speed everywhere. So it was hard to really match up man-to-man everywhere, because me and Israel can't play everywhere on the field. And they had speed. They had speed at all four positions. One guy that stood out was just Devontae Smith. He was a real, real awkward guy, the way he released, the way he ran routes. But me personally, he was the best receiver on that team. So that's a team that really stood out to me.
JC, we know how important academics are to you. Your first year SEC academic honor roll, off the football field. What are you studying in college, and is that a field that you want to go into after your football career is over?
Sports management, and I really want to get into coaching after my career over, just because I can't really see myself doing anything outside of football. I don't really want to do anything outside of football, so I just want to get into coaching, man. And like I brought up IQ earlier, I like to think that I have a pretty good football IQ. So I just want to get into coaching and put that to use after my football career.
JC, in addition to the play on the field that we've seen from you, an important part that we don't is film watching. How do you think your ability to break down film and understand offenses has progressed as you've gone on in college?
It's progressed a lot. You know, just in high school, nobody really, we watched film, but you didn't really break it down. You were just sitting there watching. And when I got to college, my freshman year, I watched, and I didn't really know how to watch film. And my sophomore year during the season, I started to pick it up. And now, just talking to one of the biggest hosts, has been Stephon Gilmore, and just explaining to me how to watch film, what to look for, the splits, you know, route timing. Just understanding that now in the off season, I think will help me tremendously when I get to the season, along with a lot of other things. So I'm just excited to get to the season and put all that stuff to use.
And JC, having strong relationships with your teammates, not only on the field, but also off the field, is vital to team success. Outside of football, are there certain activities you'd like to do with your teammates?
Man, I'm really an at-home type of guy. I don't really do too much besides play video games, bro. Play Madden. Me and Izzy play that all day. We don't really go out and do too much.
Who do you say, though? You or Israel? Who's a better Madden player?
It's hard, man. We both go back and forth just because it's hard to tell because we play each other so much and we know each other's game down to the T. So now we play so much, we don't even play no more. We don't play each other no more because it's not even fun. But of course, I got to go with myself. I'm sure he'll tell you that he's the best Madden player, though.
And JC, what was it like having a dad who played in the NFL, and how has he helped you throughout your collegiate career?
It was great having a dad who played in the NFL. Most people would think that the main pros that come out of it is learning from him on the field, but it's better. I think the biggest thing to come out of it is just learning the business of football outside on the field. And he just helps me a lot with that type of stuff, knowing what to look for, knowing what to expect. And I think it's just a major advantage to myself, having a dad that had a long career in the NFL.
JC, for the next level, what would you want scouts, GMs, future coaches to know about who they're getting in yourself and someone in the locker room and as well off the field?
I would want them to just know that they're getting a shutdown corner outside. I know I have no interceptions right now, so it could fool a lot of people. But like I said, if you turn on the film, you're getting a shutdown guy, take number one receiver out of the game, all game. And in the locker room, just a leader who's going to lead by example, who's going to show up every day and be consistent in his work. In the film room, in the weight room, and whatever the coach wants me to do, that's what I'm gonna do. So those are the main things I want NFL coaches to get from me.
And JC, a hypothetical question: if you could be trained by one player currently in the NFL or retired, who would it be and why?
Patrick Peterson, just because I feel like we share a similar body type, and he's been one of the guys that I looked up to since I can remember, man, and just him being at LSU. And just seeing him have a prosperous NFL career, and him probably still going to be in the league by the time I get there, it's just crazy to me. And I feel like he's my GOAT, the greatest of all time. So just training with him would be tremendous.
Patrick's definitely a stud. And for our last question, JC, another hypothetical situation, one-on-one against your dad in his prime. For the game, is he coming down with a touchdown or are you coming down with a pick?
Oh, I'm coming down with a pick. I pick on him all the time and I tell him, hey, because I'm taller than him, I tell him, man, the game changed. You too little to mess with me outside on the island. And we go back and forth about it, but we never actually going to have a chance to line it up. So I wish that matchup could happen, though.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Inside the NFL Prospects presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and have not already, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review.